Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. In early 2021, the Biden administration removed the Houthis, known as Anshallah, from the Foreign Terrorist Organization list. The result? The Houthis opened fire with cruise missiles derived from the Iranian factories on the Red Sea traffic that has now damaged the global economy. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial page and the America's columnist, to connect this story of what can go wrong and why when a bad actor is taken from a foreign terrorist organization list, to ask this question. Mary, a very good evening to you. Your most recent column is about Cuba, which is part of the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism, along with its kindred of Cain, Iran, North Korea, and Syria. Why should not Cuba be taken off the foreign state sponsor of terrorism list? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think that what we've learned here is that with the Houthis is that these terrorism lists exist for a reason. And the bad guys always want to get off the list because in the case of Cuba, it gets in the way of their running their criminal enterprises, basically doing business with the civilized world, and propping them up. And so they don't want to be on the list. But I think what we learned from the Houthis is there's a reason these lists exist, and it's because the civilized world, peace-seeking countries, want to try to isolate countries like Cuba, like terrorist organizations like the Houthis. And when we take them off those lists, it makes them easy to do their business with enemies of the United States.
State sponsors of terrorism. There's nothing passive or defensive about the way Cuba practices hostility. What about its relationship with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea? How does it work that, Mary?
Well, that's another reason why, in my opinion, it should stay on this list of state sponsors of terrorism, because Cuba, Cuba's basically run by an organized crime network at this point. It's not a communist revolution. And these guys stay alive by making alliances with enemies of the U.S. and trading on their close proximity to the U.S. So Russia, in I believe it was 2014, forgave a lot of debt to Cuba, Cold War era debt that was owed to basically what used to be the Soviet Union. And after that, you know, Vladimir Putin started getting much closer to Havana. And that's troubling. I mean, you know, we know that Russia is involved in crimes against humanity in Ukraine. And now, you know, they're using their relationship with Cuba to basically resupply ships that dock in Havana. They have a spy ship that comes to Havana once a year. And you have a similar situation with Iran, which is, taking advantage of Cuba's hostility to the U.S. To visit and collaborate with Cuba. And of course, China is another problem. And not only are these countries probably engaged in military alliances, but there's also, you know, in the case of China especially, the economic influence that China is trying to have in the Western Hemisphere. So for all those reasons, I think Cuba really must be treated as an enemy to the U.S. and a possible threat on the terrorist front.
Who is Ana Belén Montes, and what part does she play in Cuba's threats?
Well, one point they tried to make in this column is that, you know, the fact that Cuba has successfully embedded spies in high-ranking positions in U.S. military and U.S. Civil positions in the U.S. in Washington makes its alliances with our enemies even more treacherous. And she's a good example. She was an analyst at the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, which is inside the Pentagon. And she was spying for Cuba for years and years. I mean, she was recruited in the 80s. She's really a true believer in the Cuban project, the revolutionary project. And she had enormous influence inside the Pentagon, telling both military and civilian officials of high rank that Cuba was not a threat to the United States. And, you know, we know that is wrong. But that was one of her main jobs, not to mention, you know, blowing the cover of U.S. agents and otherwise influencing policy. So she was caught in 2021. She was 2001. She was arrested and she pleaded guilty in 2002, and she got 25 years. Now, she was released last year a little bit early. But she did a lot of damage, and I think that damage lingers inside the Pentagon in assessing what Cuba means to the U.S.
The boss of Cuba, Díaz-Canel, that's not a Castro name. Is he effective as a dictator, or is he an apparatchik?
Well, Raul Castro is still alive, and there are many analysts who think that as long as Raul Castro is alive, you know, he's calling the shots. All the news seems to suggest that he's quite feeble. I don't know his mental condition. But he also has a son, Castro Espín, who is also influential in Cuban politics. I would say Díaz-Canel, when he was first put there, was considered sort of a puppet, but he has been able to consolidate power. He's working hard to try to hang on. And again, that means that he has to build up these alliances with countries like Iran and Russia and China in order to strengthen his own hand at home as well as abroad.
The Obama administration romanced Cuba so much so that the president visited Havana, sat at a baseball game, is my memory. Does the Biden administration romance Cuba, or are they convinced that it's a hostile power?
Well, the Biden administration, President Biden, when he was a candidate, said that he was going to restore the Obama policy, which was engagement with Havana. But he was inaugurated in 2021, and just 6 months later, you had a big uprising on the military dictatorship used a lot of force against the unarmed civilian population, and a lot of that video footage went viral, and it became very difficult for President Obama to go forward with his idea of engagement with Havana when it was so transparent that it was really a brutal dictatorship. So they backed off of that. And in May of last year, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken reaffirmed Cuba's place on the list of state sponsors of terrorism. That was May of last year. And so, you know, there's nothing that Cuba has done to change its profile. I think, you know, as I tried to point out in this piece, it's getting more closer and closer all the time with enemies of the U.S. And it also supports, you know, the repression in Venezuela, in Nicaragua. So it remains a problem. And I think for that reason, it's going to remain difficult for the Biden administration to take a softer approach to the dictatorship.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Mann.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.